I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
The widowed bride that Don McLean sings about in American Pie will be in Clear Lake, Iowa today. The appearance of Maria Elena Holly is part of a week-long series of events marking the 50th anniversary of the day her husband, music legend Buddy Holly, died in a plane crash. Holly was killed along with singers Richie Valens and the Big Bopper. They were traveling together as part of the Winter Dance Party, a rock and roll tour which played to enthusiastic crowds in ballrooms across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Buddy Holly was the headliner, but the rising star on the tour was 17-year-old Californian Richie Valens. He had a double-sided hit with La Bamba and a ballad about his girlfriend named Donna.
I had a girl, Donna was her name. Since she left me, I never been the same.
The Big Bopper was the stage name of Texas disc jockey J.P. Richardson. He was a big guy and known for just one song, but during the tour, he often stole the show with his on-stage theatrics, which featured a prop telephone.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking. Oh, you sweet thing. Do I want? Will I want? You know what I like.
What the Big Bopper and the other artists didn't like was the brutal weather they encountered that winter. Larry Lamer is the author of The Day the Music Died, the definitive history of the Winter Dance Party. Lamer says traveling between stops on the tour was far from pleasant.
They would go from one place in Wisconsin to a place in Iowa to a place in Minnesota, back to Iowa, back to Wisconsin. You know, they just jumped all over the place. And these were largely 300- and 400-mile trips, performing every night. There were no nights off, and it was the dead of winter. And the transportation that they found for them was not very reliable. They had a lot of buses that would break down in that cold weather.
On January 31st, the tour arrived in Duluth for a show at the Armory. Right after the show, the musicians hit the road for the next stop on the tour.
It was a real ambitious schedule. I believe this was a weekend. It was a Saturday night, I think, they performed in Duluth. And they had a Sunday afternoon show, I think, scheduled for 1:30 in Appleton, Wisconsin. So they had to pretty much travel overnight. And the temperatures were in that minus 20, minus 30 degree range. And they got outside of Hurley, Wisconsin, and the bus died on them. And they actually threw a piston through the block on that one. And they were stuck out in the middle of nowhere in really cold weather. And the tour manager tried to keep the singers calm and on the bus. They knew that if they went out in that bitter weather, they didn't really have a chance. So while they were staying in there, in order to keep warm, they opened up windows on one side of the bus to kind of let the smoke out. And then they burned papers trying to stay warm. And it was during this incident that they lost their drummer to frostbite.
By the time they got to the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, Buddy Holly was fed up with riding the bus. To get to the next stop on the tour, in Moorhead, Minnesota, Holly chartered a plane at the Mason City Airport. Shortly after takeoff, though, the plane crashed in an Iowa cornfield.
Every day, it's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey.
Now, a couple of men who would go on to become Minnesota broadcast legends are part of the story of the Winter Dance Party Tour. Bill Deal joins us by phone, and Charlie Boone is with me here in studio. Bill Deal was the most popular DJ in Minnesota for many, many years. In 1959, he worked for the number one rock and roll radio station in the Twin Cities, WDGY. When a big act would come to town, Bill Deal would almost always be involved. So it's no surprise that he was asked to be the master of ceremonies for two concerts during the Winter Dance Party Tour. And I mentioned Charlie Boone. Charlie was working as a rock and roll DJ on KFGO Radio in Fargo. Of course, Charlie would become the morning radio institution in the Midwest, along with Roger Erickson on WCCO Radio. Charlie and Bill, thanks for being here.
That's a great pleasure.
Pleasure.
You spent time with Buddy Holly, Bill, on several occasions. What did you think of him?
Just a sweetheart. He was very businesslike. He was very polite. And he wrote his songs, and he composed. He headed his own little band there, the Crickets. And I would tell him, you're like the Glenn Miller of rock and roll. And he would laugh, and I'd say, no, you're a gentleman.
Let me get this straight here, Bill. When was the last time you saw Buddy Holly? Because he played the prom during that Winter Dance Party.
Yeah.
That was just a few days. He went up to Duluth at the Armory just a couple days before he died. Were you at the prom for that concert?
Oh, I was the MC.
Okay. Take me back. Since you were at the prom for that concert, do you remember what it was like?
Oh, there was a tremendous crowd. He was enormously popular. And then you add to it J.P. Richardson and Ritchie Valens. And Harry Given, who was managing the prom at the time, marveled at the crowd.
Well, come on, let's go.
So take me back here, Charlie Boone. You were in Fargo. Now, you were waiting for
them. We were waiting for them to come up from Clear Lake.
Yes.
And we were anticipating with great excitement because we played their records, all of them, constantly. And then we got the horrific news that they had perished in a plane crash. So what do we do? And people called in to my afternoon show and said, the show must go on. And I'm from a theater discipline, so I thought, yeah, the show must go on. You're right. And I think some of them expected to have a memorial service. They expected the caskets, three caskets, to be lined up in front of the stage. But, of course, it was a concert because there were other musicians involved, too, and we invited local musicians from around the area to fill in.
Bill, where were you, Bill Deal?
Where was I? The news came shortly after noon. And I must confess, I left the newspaper early that day then, rushed over to WDGY and gathered together all of the Ritchie Valens, J.P. Richardson, and Buddy Holly records that I could find. And my idea was to do a three-hour special. And when I got down to the studio, I had to wedge my way through I don't know how many dozens of kids. And the girls were crying like they'd lost their mother or father. And I got into the studio, and I've got to confess, I guess it's because I'm part Irish, I started crying. And we did a three-hour show playing nothing but their records.
Say, did either of you two gentlemen think at the time, and of course when you have a big news event, it is difficult to think of this, but at the time of the crash that took those lives, did you ever think that it would become such an iconic moment in music history?
I did not. Did you, Bill?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It was a seminal event for the moment. But who would ever expect that 50 years later, and I'm as surprised as I suppose Charlie is, that I'd still be around and being interviewed about Buddy Holly.